Our next guest on Downtown, a multi-talented performer, actor, comedian, author, musician. You know him from his long-running hit, Mad About You, films like Diner, Aliens, Whiplash, Beverly Hills Cop 2, and he has been very busy in the last couple of years with great roles on Stranger Things, The Kominsky Method, The Boys. He's got a brand new series called Reboot that premieres on September 20th, and he's coming to Maine for a show at the Waterville Opera House on October 21st. We are happy to welcome back to Downtown, Paul Reiser. You were with us actually a few years ago before you did the show here in Bangor. Now, at the time we talked about this, Paul, you, as we know, the 77th best comedian of all time in that Comedy Central poll. But you know, since we talked to you last, well, it's been a rough few years just through attrition. You're moving up. I'm thinking if you exercise and eat right, you're going to be in the top 10 before too long.
Well, you know what? Being number 77 on a list of the top 100, it's nice to be included, but I would like to get the number down. So what I do is I drive by the houses of numbers 76 and 5, and I just sort of harass them, hoping that they'll move and I can work my way up the list.
We're so excited to have you coming to Maine October 21st at the beautiful Waterville Opera House. You always come back to stand-up. Is there anything that you do that matches that instant response and feedback from an audience?
No, it's really, you know, that's exactly what appeals to me. There's a lot of parts about doing stand-up that that keep bringing me back. When I started, that's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to be a stand-up. I didn't really say I want to be on TV, I want to be in movies. That was sort of, I know that stuff is out there and that happens, but that wasn't the goal. And so now, and after Mad About You, and now especially all these shows that I've been so busy with, people say, well, why are you going out and doing these dates, these stand-up? You don't need to. I go, no, I do need to, personally. That's the fun part. Everything else is work, you know. But stand-up is truly, every night I get off, I go, man, that was fun. That was just fun. And, you know, there aren't a lot of things you can do in your 60s that feel exactly like they did when you were 18. Stand-up is maybe the only one. It's like it actually feels like it's as exciting and as fun and as challenging and unpredictable as it was when the first time you go on stage. So to me, it's always, I try and do it as often as I can and squeeze in weekends here and there looking forward to being in the, I've never been in an opera house, by the way. Waterville Opera House sounds very fancy.
You'll need tails. Do you have tails, Paul?
Yes, I was told. I was, absolutely. Either that or some sort of operatic costume, like a Viking helmet or something.
That'll work. Yeah, that definitely. I wonder, is it easier to do comedy as a known quantity? People know your work and already like you, and that's why they're there. Or does it create an elevated set of expectations for you?
That's an interesting question. I think both are true. You know, I had taken a long time off. We talk about this. I had taken a long time off of doing stand-up. And so when I went back in, I would do what I always did, just go down to the local comedy club. And so when I went back the first time a few years ago, the audience is like, the first response is like, oh, wow, isn't that great? What a surprise. Nice guy. The guy we know. What a nice surprise. The guy from TV. That lasts about 40 seconds. And then they look at you like, why is it you're here? I'm like, what did you want to tell us? I'm like, yeah, then you have to have something to talk about. But it's true, when you start out, you just, you know, you're these clubs, you'll be 20 people going on stage at a night, every night, and you have to somehow find a way to be different than the guy before you or the one after you. And now what's fun for getting to do a theater like the Waterville Opera House, you get to, like, you don't have to push that hard. Like, they already bought a ticket. We must like you. and I do feel this connection that people, at this point, people know me from so many different things. And I can kind of look in the audience and go, okay, that's a Mad About You couple. That guy is from The Boys. That older couple, they must have seen Kominsky Method. And those kids are from The Stranger Things, you know. So it is this very diverse group. But there's a connection. I do feel like when I walk in, I was like, I feel like I know these people, and they certainly know, like, feel like they know me. So it does make it easier.
We're talking with Paul Reiser here on Downtown. I want to talk about a number of the things you're involved in, but I would be remiss if I didn't bring up one of my favorite projects of yours in recent years. There's Johnny, which to me felt like such a great love letter to comedy, but also you and I are about the same vintage, that magical time in the early 70s when there was nothing more exciting than staying up, turning on Carson, and seeing who the comedians were.
Yeah. Oh, well, listen, God bless you for knowing and knowing that show, because that was a show that was dear to my heart that I created. I'm not in, but it was a labor of love, and we worked on it for many years. And you can see it's on Peacock now. It's finally found a home. And we only did it one time, 7 episodes. And it was about, a young kid gets a job as like the gopher behind the scenes of The Tonight Show in 1972. And we did it in partnership with Johnny Carson's company. And so we had use of the tapes and archives, and we could go into the library and pick out any tape we want. So for me, watching these tapes, it takes place in 72. So I'm looking at all these tapes. 72, I was 15, 16. And I was like, yeah, probably. I was in high school, and I'm watching, the thrill staying up late. Don't let your parents know that you have the TV on at midnight to watch George Carlin and to watch Steve Martin, Albert Brooks, Rodney Dangerfield. And what I was struck with was watching these clips and these shows, how well I remembered them, realizing I haven't seen them in 45 years. But television, back when when you couldn't record and you couldn't stream and you couldn't watch everything every minute, television was more important to you. So if you saw something, it went into your memory bank and you really held on to it in a way that isn't really possible anymore.
Well, you had that sense of urgency to it. Oh my gosh, it's almost 11:30. Carson's on. I have to be there.
Yeah, now it's like, oh, I'll watch it later, on the treadmill. I'll watch it on the bike. It had much more importance. And if you missed it, it wasn't around available for you the next day. So it was definitely took a bigger chunk of your memory, and it was more important to you.
Well, it's a wonderful series. There's Johnny, as Paul said, available on Peacock. Jane Levy, so great in it, as she is in everything. And you worked with her again over in Ireland recently, shooting a film that you wrote. Can you tell us a little bit about The Problem with People?
Yes, The Problem with People is a movie I wrote. Basically, I wrote it because I wanted to go back to Ireland. I had been there years ago and just loved it. And so I came up with this story where there are two distant cousins who've never met and apparently are the descendants of the two sides of the family that have had a generations-long feud. And one of them makes an effort, and the Irish side of the cousin of the family calls me in New York and says, let's bury the hatchet, let's make peace. And so I have to go over to Ireland, and we have this lovely get-together, and then it goes horribly wrong, and comedy ensues. And Jane Levy plays my daughter, and she was so great in There's Johnny, and I just always wanted to work with her again. So when I said, oh, I think I have this the role, come play my daughter. So she got to come to Ireland too. And if you haven't been, it's like Maine, but even more green.
Well, looking forward to it. And that'll be out, spring of 23?
Spring or early summer next year, yeah.
It's fantastic. Stranger Things was and still is such a cultural phenomenon. A great role as Dr. Sam Owens. I kept wondering early on, wow, is Paul going to be a good guy? It was a little hard to tell at first here. But I have to think, was the question most people have asked you about the show, when's the new season coming?
Well, by the way, the question that I get is like, are you a good guy or a bad guy? And I'm saying, I still don't know. Mm. Like, first you think he's bad, then he turns out, well, he seems to be pretty good, but is he really? And somebody finally said, she goes, I love the show, I love you, but I don't think you're all good. I think there's a little of both. And I said, well, isn't everybody a little good and a little not good? So they're working on the fifth season now. I think that'll be the final season. But whether I'm in it or not remains to be seen. They haven't told me, so I'm sitting by the phone. As soon as I get off with you, I'm going to just sit by the phone and find out if I'm coming back or not. Because I don't even know if I'm alive. I got beaten up a little in season four,
right,
and
right.
They left me. So I might still be at the bottom of a basement. I don't know.
Well, they did that to David Harbour, too, when we weren't sure. He came
back. That's right. But him, I was pretty confident he'd be back.
Let's talk a little bit about The Boys, where you played the legend. Would it be safe to say that role is a little bit Stan Lee and more than a dollop of Robert Evans?
I think that's very fair. I think it was conceived as a little Stan Lee, but the Robert Evans kind of old school Hollywood producer whose heyday is, you know, several years behind him, but he likes to bring it up as often as he can. So you know, it was really a mixture of a lot of people, and it was really fun. And that's not the kind of The Boys is such a great show, and it's not the kind of show that I would generally watch or be in. But it was such a cool thing to be invited to, and once I started watching it, I said, "Oh, I get what they're doing. It's really over the top, but so far over the top that it becomes funny, and even in the dark parts, it's funny and so smart." So that was great fun to be included and invited to come play that.
And I heard you tell our friends on the station next door that it was your son that told you, "Yeah, you need to do this. It's a great show."
Yeah. I get all my career advice from my son. Or sometimes I go, "Dad, don't do that one. Don't do that one." So he's my, you know, cultural canary in the coal mine, and I check with him always.
The Kaminsky Method, such a great show. Jane Seymour has been on with us before. The role of Martin Schneider, my God, what a wonderful role. And, of course, light years away from the legend. But it was so good, and that the opportunity for you speaking in front of the acting class. My God, that was just a masterclass.
Oh, that was a fun scene. Thanks. Yeah, it's a very unique show, and Chuck Lorre, who created the show, is, you know, he's the king of half hour comedy, the Big Bang Theory, and Two and a Half Men, and Mom, and everything. And I know him for years, and this show was such a departure, such a fresh way to do half-hour comedy. It was very, very funny, but very touching and very real. You know, half-hour shows sometimes are just about, you know, big laughs and getting the audience to laugh. Here, there's no laugh track, there's no audience, it's just actual people, you know. They're as funny as people are and as not funny as people are. And I called him just to tell him how great the first season was, and I joked that we should do something like together. I said, you know, that two old guys sitting in a car sounds like I could do that. And he said, you know, it's funny you say that because there's a role in this show. Maybe you'd like to come on this show. I went, yes, I would. Thank you. I'll be right there. So that was a no-brainer. It was great. It was great fun. And getting to work with Michael Douglas and Alan Arkin, you know, these guys are actual legends. So yeah, it was great, great, great fun.
And you've got a new series coming up starting September 20th from the creative mind of Steve Levitan, the man who brought us Modern Family. What a cast. You, Rachel Bloom, Judy Greer, Keegan-Michael Key, Johnny Knoxville. Tell us a little bit about Reboot.
Yeah, it's an unbelievable cast. This is another, you know, sometimes you have to think about saying yes. This was a no-brainer. Reboot, the show is called Reboot, which is confusing to some people. They go, a reboot of what? No, it's called Reboot. And it is about, you know, there's been so many shows, and Mad About You included, that have been brought back and rebooted. And so Steve Levitan decided to do a show about what is it like behind the scenes of bringing back people who have not been together for 20 years. And the show, you know, it was a family, cute, safe family show, but now somebody wants, the new writers want to make it hip and culturally relevant. And so it's totally behind the scenes of making a show. And it felt very real. It was really funny. And I play the guy who originated the show that's being now rebooted. And, of course, I want to keep it as it was, jokey and light. And there's the new young writer they bring in wants to make it edgy. And so there's a cultural clash. But the cast, man, it's just so, they're so funny. And I hope we get to make more. I think we will. It's true, yeah.
I love the Mad About You reboot. And it seemed, obviously, terrific acting skills involved. But it sure seemed like you and Helen Hunt fell right back into that chemistry.
Yeah, you know, that we had discussed, you know, after the show originally ended, we were friends and we, you know, would see each other all the time. So it wasn't like we had to reacquaint ourselves. But there was something about getting together with all the cast. And then you get onto that stage and, you know, they reassembled it, you know, brick for brick, exactly like it. But we had to sort of redress it because it's 20 years later. Maybe they bought a new couch in 20 years. Maybe they painted. But it was, we were laughing at how ridiculously quickly we felt like, yeah, we haven't been gone for 20 years. Maybe we took a week off. You know, it was just, we all fell into it and it was great fun. And, you know, we thought long and hard about coming back because we were so happy with the way we ended it in 1999. We said, why should we open it up? And we might mess it up. And we said, no, we're not going to stink up the joint. We'll have fun. Let's do it once. And what was really fun about it was we weren't trying to reboot it in the sense of let's do another season and pretend we're 30 years old. Like, no, we're in our 60s now. So these are not the same character, it's a different point in their life and they're older, you know, what is it like when you're no longer newlyweds? You're at the other end. Your kid that you were talking about having a baby someday, they're now leaving the nest, and you're older, and you don't hear as well, and you don't walk as quickly, and not all your dreams have come true. So there was a lot of stuff to write about that we really enjoyed digging into.
It's the 40th anniversary this year of one of my favorite films, Diner. We've had a chance over the years to talk with Kevin Bacon, Michael Tucker, Steve Guttenberg. When you were playing the part of Modell, did you guys realize that you're making something that would have the kind of legs this film has had?
No, nobody ever knows that. You know, for me, that was the first job I ever had. So I didn't. I was just thrilled that there was a camera and trucks and everything. So I would have done it if it was, you know, Porky's Nine. It was like, oh, it's a movie. And it wasn't until we saw it, we went, oh, this is really good and different. And over the years, it has really proven to be a big part of people's lives. Yeah, we had a few months ago, they had an event here to commemorate the 40th anniversary. And Guttenberg and Kevin and Tim Daly and I, we got together, we had the screening. And we all kind of, you know, looked at us, and we fell right back into where we were. But when we did it, it was, for all of us, it was our, you know, first real big breakthrough. And here we are 40 years later. I think it was Kevin Bacon. He said, have you guys noticed this when you get a new job and you show up, you look around and you're the oldest person on the set by far? It's like, yeah, you're older than the camera guys and the grips and the truck drivers. Like, oh my God, when did this happen? And it's just, you know, we are by far older than anybody. But it's always nice to be associated with that particular film because it was such a big part of people's lives.
Paul, thank you so much. Great to talk with you again. Love all the work you're doing on television and film, and can't wait to see you at the Waterville Opera House on October 21st.
Looking forward to seeing you.